Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I want to start with one question that a great JTFer is asking this week, because it happens to be the subject that was going to be our opening anyway, so I'm going to read the question, and it's going to be the opening that we're going to be doing on the program anyway. And the question comes from the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss the BHO nomination of Samantha Power to U.S. Ambassador to the UN, the support and the opposition to the nomination," unquote. And BHO means Barack Hussein Obama, of course. This was going to be our opening subject this week because some interesting things happened. First of all, Barack Hussein Obama is nominating Samantha Power. Yimach shma v'zichra shem reshaim yirkav. May her name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. This Jew-hating beast who called upon the United States to invade and conquer Israel and destroy the Jewish state. She said in an interview that the United States should invade and conquer Israel and have a protection force for the new Palestine state. In other words, the United States should go and invade Israel, militarily occupy Israel, and instead of Israel, create Palestine. I mean, this is unbelievable. She wants the United States to go to war against Israel, to militarily destroy Israel. And she is nominated as U.S. Ambassador to the UN by Barack Hussein Obama, who had the support of most American Jewish voters and all the Jewish politicians. And they all tell us how he's such a good friend of Israel. And the Israeli government says that he's pro-Israel. And he's nominating as U.S. ambassador to the U.N. someone who has called for the destruction of Israel, has said the United States should go in and invade Israel. Now, something interesting happened in regard to this week. And you saw it on our forum. The great Irish Zionist put up on our forum that a video done by our great admin Dan Ben Noach on Samantha Powers has gotten now 92,000 views. You saw on Arut Sheva that they're referring to our video on Samantha Powers. They're using our video for people to see what Samantha Powers is all about. And when I say our video, the video that Dan Ben Noach did for us, and already we've got 92,000 views on that video, which for a Jewish Israel-oriented video, that's a lot of views, because Israel only has 5.5 million Jews. There aren't that many Jews in the world. And, you know, the number of Jews that are really interested in Israel, that's even a smaller group. So 92,000 views, that's a lot for a video on this subject. And it's because of the fact that that Arut Sheva and certain Israeli media are using our video to inform people about Samantha Power. Many politicians in Israel, when they think about American administration hostility toward Israel, the Obama administration, and anti-Semites like Obama and Samantha Power, when they think about that, they immediately think of JTF now. This is associated in their mind. Politicians, leaders in Israel, ordinary Israelis, they think of us because they've seen our videos on Obama. Many Israelis have seen our videos on Obama in English and in Hebrew. And so they associate us with being opposed to the anti-Semitic policies of the Obama administration and of Samantha Power. And that's very good news. Because that means when they want to know what's coming from Obama and Samantha Power and Washington, if bad things are coming, they turn to us for information and we're going to give them the truth, which is something no one else in Israel will give them. So that's good news that they turn to us. That's very good news. And so we saw again this week just how potent the fact that we have put up 2,000 videos on YouTube already. We have about 2,000 videos up on YouTube. How potent that is, the hundreds of YouTube accounts and the 2,000 videos, in terms of establishing us as the address that people go to in Israel when they want to know about the hostility of an American administration, or when they want to know about danger coming from American pressure on Israel, because some very dangerous things are coming. John Kerry, the person who considers himself to be a half-Jew because of his father's Jewish background, his father's name was Cohen, and his father's Jewish background. John Kerry, this vicious, Jew-hating piece of filth, whom Obama made Secretary of State, is going back to Israel for like the sixth time since he became Secretary of State. I mean, he is obsessed with pressuring Israel to commit national suicide, to go back into negotiations for national suicide, to create a Palestine state, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, and to go back to the pre-1967 suicide borders. He's obsessed with it. And we're already beginning to see play out all the things we warned about when we warned that Obama should not be reelected. But at least we can give our fellow JTFers, we as JTFers can have the satisfaction of knowing that people on the right in Israel, even on the phony right, turn to us when it comes to certain types of news or information about the United States. We become an important source of information for them. And that's why you saw our video being featured as the place to go to if you want to know about Samantha Powers on Arut Sheva. And that's why so many Israelis, including Israeli media people, ask me questions. I mean, I've actually gotten messages from people in Israel who are not at all supporters of ours, asking me questions about Samantha Powers and what we think and about Samantha Power. I keep calling her Samantha Powers. It doesn't matter if she's Powers, you know. Yimach Shma V'Zichra, that's her real name. But I've gotten a lot of questions about this from people, and people are interested in what we have to say about it. And they're right, because we do know a lot more about the American system of government and about black anti-Semitism and Muslim anti-Semitism from Obama and his background. We know a lot more about this than Israeli Jews would know about it. We are better informed than they are. And so they rightfully and justifiably turn to us. They also know that we're a voice of uncompromising truth. And what this means in the future is that if this continues and we continue to be a major source of information on issues of importance to Israel, eventually more and more people will turn to us, and that can only be good for the Jewish people. So I think that's good news. I just wanted to share that with our great JTFers. I want you to know, yes, we're in certain areas, we're making progress in certain areas. And of course, it's not enough, not by any means enough. We want to be doing far more. We have 92,000 views on that video. There should be millions of views from Jews and righteous Gentiles. But 92,000 views is still nothing to sneeze at. It's still pretty good for an organization with the limited budget that we have. I also think it's important that we remember that in addition to this, we, again, are the voice with our Hebrew videos, of giving a backbone to the Jews in Judea and Samaria. Whenever there's any thought of caving in or compromising or dealing with traitors, whenever there's any thought of that, we are the voice of that says you should not compromise and you should resist. We are that voice for Israeli Jews. And that's also good news, that people turn to us, they know to turn to us. Not everybody knows to turn to us, and that's why we need a bigger budget. We want to reach more people. But there are certainly people in Israel. There are certainly thousands of people in Israel that know that we are the people to turn to also in the struggle over the future of Judea and Samaria, because John Kerry and Barack Hussein Obama are putting massive pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu, who we know is a very weak and pathetic leader to begin with. They're putting massive pressure on him to freeze all Jewish building in Judea and Samaria and in Jerusalem, and that's very dangerous. And to go back to negotiating with the PLO terrorists, this is all a very dangerous situation. It's always dangerous when you have leaders like Netanyahu who could agree to a Palestine state, God forbid. Very dangerous. So we've got to be there to keep the pressure on, because this is a matter of survival. We're fighting a battle for survival at this point. And at least with us, One thing that you know for sure, We're going to try the very best we can and fight as hard as we can to save Israel and to protect Israel, because we love our fellow Jews and we love the Jewish people. We love God's people and God's land, and we're against giving up a single inch and think that Israel should actually be from the Nile to the Euphrates, and we will never compromise. And the Arab Muslim Nazis in Israel should go. They don't belong there and they should be encouraged to leave. And we're not going to compromise on those things. At least we are one voice that you know is not going to give in. We're one voice that, if there's one thing you've seen over the years with us, we don't give in. We stand firm and don't give a single inch on any of these issues. And it's long overdue that there be a pro-Israel and pro-American Jewish organization with the support of our righteous Gentile friends that takes that stand. It's long overdue that we had an organization and a movement like that. If you agree that this is important and that it's good news that people are turning to us for information on Samantha Power, we've gotten thousands and thousands of new views this week on that video, because Arut Sheva and the Israeli media are publicizing it. If you agree this is good news, and if you look forward to Shlomo's video, which we're going to be releasing this week, another video that we've done on Samantha Power, an updated one, and on her being nominated by the Muslim Jew hater Barack Hussein Obama. And if you want us to reach as many people as possible with our videos, both our Hebrew and our English videos, then there are three things you can do. Actually, there are four things you could do. Let me start off with saying we need your prayers. Pray that we succeed. I'm doing something right now which I can't tell you about. Behind the scenes, I hope to be able to tell you about it in several weeks. Believe me, the minute I can tell you about it, I will. I'm doing something which, if it fails, then it won't be a big deal. But if it succeeds, it'll be something that could be very helpful to the Jewish people and to Israel. I'm doing something behind the scenes. I cannot tell you about it. I would love to tell. If there's one thing I would love to do is share this with my fellow JTFers. I'd love nothing more, but I cannot. But in any event, if you agree that we should reach as many people as possible with our message and with our videos and keep the pressure on Israel to attack Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, to not agree to freeze Jewish building in Judea and Samaria, not agree to national suicide in a Palestine state, to oppose Samantha Power and Barack Hussein Obama and other Jew haters that want Israel to commit suicide, if you agree that this message should be heard by as many Israeli Jews as possible, and by as many Americans as possible as well, with our English language videos. If you agree with that, one, we need your prayers. Pray that we succeed. Pray that Hashem help us that we succeed in what we're trying to do. We need your prayers. That's very important. Two, when we put up English or Hebrew language videos on the forum, when you see us putting them up, like, favorite, comment, share, and mirror the videos, even if they're in Hebrew and you don't speak Hebrew. You can still help us in the search engines on YouTube and on Google and on Facebook by promoting the videos. Like, favorite, comment, share, and mirror. Very important. And another thing you can do is help us with our forum and our Facebook pages. Make them inviting places so more people want to get involved with us, more people want to join us, so we can grow our movement and become a more powerful force. And finally, So far I mentioned three things. Pray for us. Help us with our Hebrew and English videos. Help us on our forum and Facebook pages. And the fourth thing, of course, last but not least, our biggest setback is our very meager budget. Every check, money order, and cash donation to our post office box does make a difference. Enables us to reach more people, enables us to do more and to bring the truth to more people, which is very, very important. So I want to thank the great JTFers who on a regular basis generously help us with checks and money orders and cash donations to our post office box. We need your help. We need as much as possible. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless your loved ones. Also, I thank the JTFers who help us by going to the donate button on the JTF.org on our English main page and on our Hebrew main page. They go to the donate button and help us with credit card donations. Thank you very much for that, and God bless you. God bless your families, both in this world and in the next. All right. So that's one question this week that we had, and it's also our opening for this week. I think it's organizationally, you know, even if there's a lot, even if sometimes there's bad news in the world, at least organizationally we do occasionally get some encouraging news, and I think that that's encouraging at least to a certain extent. And now we go to the other questions from our great JTFers, and we start with the great Pyramid Head fan who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, how is it that the former Soviet Muslims like Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan have higher literacy rates compared to other Muslim countries, unquote. Pyramid Head fan, that's because they came into greater contact with non-Muslim Western infidels. The more Muslims come into contact with non-Muslim Western infidels, the higher their literacy rates are going to be, the more success they're going to have. The more they stay insulated in their backward, primitive Muslim world, the dumber they're going to be. That's just the reality. That's what happens. Great question, Pyramid Head fan. And now we go to the great Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, Is electromagnetic radiation caused by Wi-Fi hotspots or by mobile phones really unhealthy or just a myth, unquote? Da Vinci, I honestly don't know for sure. Of course, you have people in the industry, in the cell phone industry, because this has been an issue that's been mobile phone and cell phone industry. They come up with experts telling us, no, this is harmless, that's nonsense. I don't know for sure. I've seen other people express concern. So I don't want to answer because I don't have the expertise to be able to answer that subject. Is it possible that people who stay for hours and hours every day on these phones could be doing damage to themselves? I don't know. If over a period of years, I honestly don't know the answer to that question. So I'm sorry that I can't answer it. I just don't know. I would urge people certainly to research the subject. If somebody does spend hours and hours on these phones, like some people do for their businesses, some people are moving around all the time and they're on these phones constantly. If somebody spends hours and hours every day on these phones, maybe they should research the issue and see what they think is the appropriate answer. Thank you very much, Da Vinci. And now we go to our friend Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, What is your opinion of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal? Unquote. Well, of course, Harav Feinstein was one of the great Talmidei Chachamim, and his Piskei Halacha are widely recognized to be very authoritative. And there's no question that he was a great Talmid Chacham. No question about that. I adhere to other Talmidei Chachamim who were more Zionistic than him. He was not very Zionistic. And are more right-wing than him. I agree with the Talmidei Chachamim who are more right-wing and nationalistic. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he was a great Talmid Chacham. And now Binyamin writes, and I quote, Also, how would things have turned out different if Israel had struck back at Iraq in 1991, unquote. If Israel had struck back, and what Binyamin is referring to is in 1991, Saddam Hussein fired 37 missiles into Israel, or Scud missiles, and Israel said they were going to retaliate, and then in the end, Yitzhak Shamir and Moshe Arens and that whole weak, pathetic, phony right government that ended up banning Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zatzal, they never fired back. They let the Iraqis fire 37 missiles into Israel and didn't fire back because George Bush Sr. asked them not to defend themselves and not to fire back. I think it was a terrible move, and if they had fired back, people would know that you don't attack Israel. You don't get away with attacking Israel, that every time you strike Israel, you're going to get it back much harder than what you're going to get back 100 times or 1,000 times harder than what you did, than your initial attack. That is a message of deterrence that should be out there, and it's also a message for justice and righteousness. And so it was a chilul Hashem, it was a desecration of God's name when Israel did this, when Israel didn't strike back. It would have been a kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name if Israel did strike back, and it would have created a greater message of deterrence. Thank you, Binyamin. And now we go to Huzer Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, "Can you contrast Iranian relations with Iranian Jews and Israel in the Shah's Iran vis-a-vis Khomeini's Iran?" Unquote. Well, obviously, relations with Israel were much better, and the Iranian Jewish community was in much better shape under the Shah. The Shah had a policy of trying to reestablish Iran. He dreamed that he was going to reestablish the Persian Empire, which was an impossible dream. It was ridiculous, because the Persian Empire can't be reestablished once you have an Iranian population that is Muslim. Muslims are not people who are going to be able to create an advanced civilization the way ancient Persia was a very advanced civilization. That's just not going to happen. But anyway, that was his fantasy, and so as part of what he did to pursue that fantasy, as part of his program, he did have relatively neutral relations with Israel, including trade with Israel, and he did not have a very hostile attitude toward the Iranian Jewish community. Obviously, in Khomeini's Iran and in the Iran that took place, the Iran that we've seen since the 1979 revolution, Iranian Jews have been executed, Iranian Jews are persecuted and live in fear. Most of them have left, but you have crazy Iranian Jews that still live there, and they're insane. Any Jew that lives in Iran is insane. Insane. And I don't care if it offends people, doesn't offend people. Nuts. Jews who live in Iran now, after all these years, are insane. And of course, Iran's policy is to try to destroy Israel. They're building nuclear bombs with the intention of perpetrating a Holocaust against the Jews of Israel. And I don't know how Iranian Jews can live in a country and do work and trade with a country and help the prosperity of a nation that is committed to committing genocide against their brothers and sisters in Israel. I don't understand how any Jew can do something like that. That's another issue. Thankfully, the vast majority of Iranian Jews, who are good Jews, Iranian Jews generally are good Jews, the Persian Jews are generally good Jews, thankfully the vast majority of them left Iran. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Anyway, let's go on now to Paper Cut, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, what is your opinion of the Temple Institute, and what should be done if we get a pure red heifer?" I don't know how you say that in English. Is it heifer? I think it's heifer. Okay. Unquote. My opinion of the Temple Institute is a very, very high opinion. I think that organizations that work to rebuild the Holy Temple and that want to make the Jewish people aware of what the Holy Temple was all about are serving a very positive purpose. You know, when the Holy Temple was in existence and we had sacrifices, people don't realize, in our generation, very few people understand the meaning of this. People who went into the Holy Temple and participated had a spiritual experience. In many cases, prophecy became an air of prophecy descended upon them. And, I mean, we had the cloud, there was a cloud from Hashem over the Holy Temple, over the first Holy Temple, when we had Shlomo HaMelech, when we had King Solomon. People would go in there, they would have questions about what's my purpose in life, what do I do at this point, how should I react to this issue or that issue. They'd go in and all their questions and issues would be answered prophetically sometimes. Sometimes that would happen. They'd have questions and they would be answered prophetically. They would come out feeling like new human beings, feeling so elevated, so excited. You know, we don't see in the Bible people arguing about the existence of God. You know why you don't see that in the Bible? I'm referring to the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh. Because everybody believed in God during the age of prophecy. When we had prophecy, everybody believed in God. There was almost no such thing as atheism. Virtually no such thing. It virtually didn't exist. Atheism comes later. Concepts like atheism and Greek philosophy and all these other things that eventually took hold, as well as atheistic religions like Buddhism. All of these concepts took hold after prophecy ended for the Jewish people, which was during the time of the Second Temple, when prophecy finally came to an end, before the destruction of the Second Temple. That's when finally we had people questioning the very existence of God. But when there was prophecy in the world, some people defied God, people still had free will, and people committed acts of idolatry. And there was a lot of, the Bible argues against idolatry all over the place, you know, vigorous struggle with idolatry, because there was a desire to worship God, and sometimes people used idols as a means to worship God. That was the struggle. But there was no real struggle with people who were saying, hey, there is no God, what are you talking about? That was virtually non-existent in the time when we had prophecy. Prophets are so happy and elevated, and because they have a connection with the creator of the universe in this world, and it brings them a happiness and a serenity and a purpose in life that is beyond description, that we can't understand because we're not prophets. But part of that experience was going to the Holy Temple. And so when the Temple Institute and other organizations want to reestablish that, this is something that should be encouraged. Now, the red heifer, I don't know if it's heifer or I think it's heifer, yeah. The red heifer, in Hebrew it's Para Aduma. That's another long, I know I'm taking up a lot of time with this, but obviously, you know, everybody knows these, Chaim loves speaking about this stuff. Okay. Why do we sacrifice the red heifer? Why is that so important if we finally get a real all red heifer? If we finally get a Para Aduma, which is what we're waiting for. Because you can't go up to the Holy Temple in the Holy of Holies. You can't go and do the sacrifices. It's not the Holy of Holies, but you can't do the sacrifices if you have Tumat Hamet. Tumat Hamet means the impurity of death. If someone came into any contact with death, if you were in a cemetery, at a funeral, any contact with death, the only way you can be purified and cleansed of this is with the red heifer, with the Para Aduma. Now, why do you need a red heifer? Why do you need this red cow to purify you from the impurity of death? And why do we have the impurity of death? Because the rabbis teach us, we would have had eternal life if not for the sin of the golden calf. If not for Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel is the sin of the golden calf. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moses went up and was with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and when he came back down, he saw that the people were rebelling and that they were worshiping the Egel, they were worshiping the golden calf. As a result of this, one of the punishments was that we did not get eternal life. God, according to some of the rabbinic scholars, some of the rabbinic sages in Chazal teach us that that if they had not done that, God was going to give the Jews the real spiritual Torah with great spiritual secrets, and the original Torah that Moshe came down with. He came down with the original great two tablets that he broke. But this was the we were going to have eternal life. We were going to conquer death. Righteous people were going to live forever. We were going to have eternal life. And we would have come into the world, by the way. We eventually would have been born as well. Our souls would have been created. But in a world where there is no death. Can you imagine a world like that, and where God is clearly the king of the world and there is no death? And there's complete peace of mind, and you know, and we progress in life and move on in life without death. But because of the sin of the golden calf, this didn't happen. This was put off. And so this was something we mourn for we mourn for generations over this, because of this. And so when we have a red cow to make up for this, the calf was like a god. We turned this into like a god, or a symbol of an intermediary for God. Because the calf was, in fact, a god in ancient Egypt when the Jews came out of Egypt. And so to show that we are no longer afraid of the idols of the world, and no longer worship the idols of the world, and that we have victory over all these forms of idolatry, and victory over all intermediaries, and we do worship Hashem directly without intermediaries. To show this, we now make the sacrifice of the red calf. Just as the golden calf brought us down, the red heifer, para aduma, will cleanses us of this sin, and it's symbolic of the Jewish victory over death, of the Jewish concept of victory over death, because we believe that eventually we're going to have victory over death. Righteous people do not die when they leave this world. Their souls live on. The souls of the righteous live forever. If you're righteous and you do what God commands you to do, your soul will live forever. And eventually we're going to have Techiyat HaMetim, resurrection of the dead. Those are fundamental Jewish beliefs. Maybe in upcoming programs we'll discuss more. We'll go into more detail about why Judaism believes that and how we believe that's going to come about. But anyway, I hope we at least touched to a certain degree on the subject here. And I thank you, Paper Cut, for the questions. And now we go to the great Obama is trash, who writes, and I quote, one, talk about Indira Gandhi, her anti-American, anti-Israel, pro-Arab positions, support for USSR, anti-Sikh Nazism, unquote. Indira Gandhi was a socialist, Marxist, supporter of third worldism and third world ideology, who was very anti-Israel, very pro-Arab, pro-Muslim. And she was a traitor to India as well. She was a disgusting person. And, you know, almost all the prime ministers of India, unfortunately, have been left-wing. That's unfortunate. We would like to see a Hindu nationalist become prime minister who's going to take on Pakistan and swallow up Pakistan and solve the problem of Pakistani nuclear weapons. I mean, that would be great. That would really be doing a tremendous favor for the world. That's what we'd really like to see. Obama's trash now writes to a theology on Frank Lautenberg. I think you mean a eulogy on Frank Lautenberg. Yemach shmo v'zichro. Oh, Frank Lautenberg, who became super rich and therefore was made the chairman, the national chairman of the United Jihad Appeal, the UJA, the UJA Federation. They call it the United Jewish Appeal. We call it the United Jihad Appeal, an organization that during the Holocaust did everything they could to sabotage rescue of Jews during the Holocaust, an organization that promotes intermarriage and assimilation and self-destruction spiritually among American Jews, an organization that funds every left-wing cause under the sun, an organization that gives the vast majority of its money either to anti-Semites or self-hating Jews, an organization that proudly gives huge sums of money to the Arab Nazis in Israel that want to destroy Israel, an organization that actually has groups that openly promote and encourage intermarriage and say intermarriage is a good thing and you should accept it and you should be happy when your children intermarry. They have organizations that openly promote homosexuality and say, you know, these organizations of these sick women who say, my son is gay and I'm proud of it. And the UJA funds all of that. They've been funding that for years. There's not one degenerate, monstrous thing that they don't fund. The one thing that they don't fund The only thing they don't fund is Jewish education and Jewish pride and Jews living in Judea and Samaria and good Jews in Israel, good Jews in America. That they don't fund. That they give nothing to, not one penny. And so Lautenberg was made the UJA chairman. Why? Because he was a left-wing Democrat and very rich, and he gave huge amounts of money to all the Democrat presidential candidates, starting with George McGovern in 1972, and then, of course, supported Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, raised money for them, personally gave out of his own pocket to their campaigns, to all the Jew haters that want to destroy Israel. So he was perfect to be UJA chairman. And as a U.S. senator, of course, he did everything he could to hurt the Jewish people. He signed to prove what a good Jew boy he could be for all the anti-Semites he was supporting. He signed anti-Israel letters in the 1980s, together with Carl Levin, Arlen Specter, and other self-hating Jews. They circulated and signed an anti-Israel letter urging Israel to surrender all the land she won in the 1967 war. In the 1980s, they backed the Oslo treason agreements that were handing over all of Israel to Yasser Arafat and the PLO terrorists while Jews were being blown to pieces on buses and in marketplaces, and they were handing the bombers all the land of Israel. This would be like if the United States said, oh, we'll give Osama bin Laden now half of the United States to thank him for 9/11. That's what the Oslo agreements were about, and Lautenberg enthusiastically supported the Oslo agreements in the 1990s. He was the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth. And of course, the defender of all the black anti-Semites, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, he was involved with all of them and backed all of them. Yimach shmo v'zichro shem reshayim yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. Thank you, Obama's trash. And now we go to the great waiting for the mother plane to come, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, do you think Yair Lapid, Yimach shmo v'zichro, could be Gog? Is it possible that he will rebuild the temple, enter it, and proclaim that he is the Mashiach? Unquote. No, I don't know. Well, first of all, Gog is not going to be a Jew. Okay, Yair Lapid is a self-hating Jew. He is a self-hating Jew. And he's a really bad person. But Gog is not going to be a Jew. Gog is going to be a leader of Magog. Magog is going to be the leading superpower of the world. It's going to be a Gentile nation, superpower of the world. And yes, if you're worried that that might be the United States, it might be. There's a good chance that that will happen. And I don't know. You could have Gog and Magog could happen another 100 years from now, and the United States may not be a superpower 100 years from now, or it could be 200 years from now. We don't know when this is going to happen. It could come in 10 years. I mean, this biblical prophecy could come true in 10 years. It could come true in 100 years. Come true in 300 years. We don't know. But in any event, Gog is going to be a leader, a Gentile leader of this Gentile superpower. And this Gentile superpower, Magog, is going to lead an international coalition of nations against Israel. Could that happen in the near future? Could it be the United States and Obama leading a coalition against Israel? Of course it can be. It could be. We don't know. But Gog is not going to be a Jew. Yair Lapid is just a self-hating Jew whose policies, of course, are very destructive toward Israel as well. Thank you, waiting for the mother plane. And now we go to our friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the group of Jews always protesting the existence of Israel during the Israeli Day Parade, unquote? Well, you're referring to Natorei Karta, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram Shem Reshayim Yirkav, those traitors who ran to Iran to kiss and hug Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the leader of Iran, who said that Israel should be destroyed and who was promised to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and they went to kiss and hug him at a Holocaust denial conference in Tehran. So, I mean, these individuals are such scum. May Hashem eliminate them from this world and give them the proper punishment in the next world. Amen. Thank you, Joe. And now we go to And now we go to our other good friend, Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, you mentioned that the constitutional amendment permitting the income tax was not passed properly. Can you elaborate on that? Thank you, unquote. Yes. First of all, this year is 2013. The so-called income tax amendment was passed fraudulently in 1913, so it's been 100 years. Been 100 years since the income tax amendment supposedly was passed. It was passed fraudulently. The states, you know, you got it to pass an amendment. You have to have two-thirds of both houses of Congress vote for the amendment, and then you have to have three-fourths of the states support an amendment. Is it three-fourths of the states or two-thirds? I'm sorry. No, it's two-thirds of the... No, it's three-fourths. Yes, I think it's three-fourths of the states. Wait, let me check. Let me check while I'm... I'm pretty sure that it's... That it is... I'm pretty sure that it is... Three-fourths of the states... How is the Constitution amended? Let's see if we have this. Two-thirds in Senate, three-fourths of the states. Yes, I was right. It's three-fourths of the states. Okay. Now, I'm sorry I took up so much time with that. I just wanted to make sure my facts were right here. Now, the states that were listed that supposedly approved this amendment didn't do so. Kentucky, for example, rejected the amendment, but was counted as a state that approved it. Kentucky state legislature actually rejected the amendment. Oklahoma changed the wording of the amendment with the opposite meaning, and yet it was counted as a state that had approved the amendment. Minnesota never voted on it, the Minnesota state legislature, and yet it was submitted as a state that approved the amendment. So that's at least three states. This was fraudulent. The income tax amendment was not passed properly. This was fraudulent. This was a hoax. And so the income tax is actually, first of all, I believe that even if you pass an amendment that contradicts the Bill of Rights, that amendment is unconstitutional. So I think the income tax is unconstitutional ipso facto. I mean, I think the very essence of an income tax is unconstitutional. Seizing people's income without giving them any choice, just immediately seizing their income. I think that's unconstitutional. I'm not against all taxation. I think a sales tax and tariffs and other types of taxes are constitutional, that government can impose those taxes. But an income tax, in my view, is unconstitutional and is absolutely inappropriate. And the income tax amendment was not passed the way an income tax amendment is supposed to be passed. There was fraud involved. Thank you, Kalman. And now we go to the great 121, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, is David Duke a Tea Party member, unquote? Oh, of course not. Of course not. David Duke is a Nazi. David Duke is the head of the Ku Klux Klan and is a Nazi and a Hitler supporter. Absolutely not. The Tea Party would not accept Nazis and Hitler supporters in their ranks. I would hope that none of them would. I don't think the major Tea Parties would. Now 121 writes, and I quote, what is your opinion of rapper Mos Def and conspiracy theorist rapper Immortal Technique, unquote? Well, Mos Def is a black Muslim who defends Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, who defends not just Barack Hussein Obama, he defends Osama bin Laden. They've asked him about Osama bin Laden, and he says he refuses to listen to any broadcasts or any videos of him because he doesn't believe the translations. He thinks they're mistranslating it to smear this good Muslim, Osama bin Laden. That's this black Muslim piece of filth, Mos Def, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And Immortal Technique, it's another low-life, ignorant moron from Harlem, a complete imbecile and a moron. You know, with an IQ IQ negative numbers. I mean, what a joke. What a joke who also supports Muslims and supports and supports racists and anti-Semites. And then, you know, they complain about racism all the time, and they're the biggest racists in the world. Hypocrites, phonies, two-faced filth, who represent the worst subculture on the face of the earth. That's what I think of them. Thank you, 121. And now we go to our friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, your opinion of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I wish he was my sheriff, unquote. I would love to have him mayor of New York. I think he's great. You know, he's 80 years old now. I think he's wonderful. I think he's doing a very good job. I think he's very courageous. If we had more people like him, America would be in much better shape. I think he's fantastic. I have great respect and admiration for him. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to our great friend Eli Yitzchaki, who is also active on the Hebrew Forum. Eli Yitzchaki writes, and I quote, do you think that George Galloway, MP, is a Muslim convert, unquote? I think that he may be a Muslim because he defends Islam so zealously. I mean, he's supposed to be a British leftist member of parliament, but he defends Islam so zealously. He's also, of course, an anti-Semite. He's anti-American, naturally. But his defense of Islam is such a fanatic defense that I think that he may secretly be a Muslim convert. If he's not a Muslim convert, then he is the most pro-Muslim infidel that I've ever seen. If he's not a Muslim convert, so he's either the most pro-Muslim infidel I've ever seen, or he's a secret Muslim. One or the other. Thank you, Eli Yitzchaki. And now we go to Daniel. Good to see you. Good to see you again, Daniel. Daniel writes, and I quote, what do you know about Reb Zalman Schachter Shalmoni, and what is your opinion of him, unquote? Oh, he is a horrible person. He was in Chabad and left Chabad to go to the Reform Institute, you know, with a reform, where they have the reform so-called rabbis. And then he was with the Reconstructionist movement and all these other movements, and he talked about taking LSD and using drugs and became a hippie, and he runs around promoting assimilationism and promoting everything that's against the Torah. So, you know what I think of him. I think he's scum. Thank you, Daniel. And now we go to the great Kahana loyalist. First of all, before I... let me first answer your question. Then I got to say something to you, Kahana loyalist, about an answer I gave you last week because it was inaccurate. The answer I gave you last week was incorrect about something. But first of all, Kahana loyalist writes this week, and I quote, Dear Chaim, do you think Tzipi Livni's Yemach Shmam, a Bolshevik-style law targeting Tag Mechir, will pass, unquote? I hope not, because it's an outrage. I mean, she, you know, this animal, Tzipi Livni, Yemach Shma, she wants to label Tag Mechir as a terrorist organization. Yeah, some of these are kids spraying graffiti in retaliation for the brutal murder of innocent Jews by animals who want to exterminate the entire Jewish people, Nazi animals who want to commit genocide against the Jewish people, and they spray paint graffiti. Now, in some cases, they have firebomb mosques. All right. But you're dealing with, you know, to refer to them as terrorists, when the Israeli government funds Fatah, that has murdered more Jews than anyone since Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime. Fatah is the terrorist organization founded by Arafat, and which is now headed by Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas, and the Israeli government has given them billions of shekels, billions of dollars. That's not terrorist. They're not terrorists. They've murdered thousands of Jews, and they're not terrorists. They call in their media every day for the extermination of the Jewish people, but they're not terrorists. But Tag Mechir, young Jewish patriots in Tag Mechir, whether one agrees with what they're doing or not, and we're not allowed, you know, we're not allowed to applaud Tag Mechir's activities legally. But we're not, but the law does not require us to condemn them, and we don't condemn them. You know, to have them legally defined as a terror organization would be just another example of obscene miscarriage of justice. So obviously we're very much against it, and God willing, I hope it does not pass. Connor Loyalists, last week you asked me a question about Avraham Herzlich. Avraham Herzlich is the father of the late Talia Kahana, Zichrona Libracha, Aleiha HaShalom, Hashem Yikom Dama, who was murdered with Binyamin Kahana, with Harab Binyamin Kahana. Harab Binyamin Kahana is the son of our leader, Rabbi Meir Kahana Zatzal. Harab Binyamin and his wife Talia were murdered on a highway. They were murdered on a highway 13 years ago. And so, when I was asked about him, about the father of Talia, obviously Talia is very sacred to us, all of us who loved Rabbi Kahana and loved his family. Talia was his daughter-in-law, so of course she's very sacred to us, and she was murdered al Kiddush Hashem, and to sanctify God's name. And so when you asked me about her father, naturally I instinctively defended her father, because I had not seen what you were referring to. You were referring to a Channel 2 special broadcast on the Shabak, in which they glorify the Shabak traitors, the self-hating Jewish anti-Semite informers and rats in the Shabak, in the Jewish section of the Shabak, HaMachlaka HaYehudit Shel HaShabak, which is the Jewish section of the Shabak. Shabak is the Israeli KGB. And these rat traitors who try to arrest and persecute their fellow Jews, and, I mean, do terrible things. I mean, the worst type of KGB behavior against their fellow Jews. And we've exposed a lot of the dirty tactics they use. But in any event, you said that according to this program, according to this television program, that Avraham Herzlich, the father of Talia Kahana, admitted that he's an informer, and that he gave information to the Shabak, that he was working with the Shabak, working with these rats. And I said, I don't think that could be. How could that be? Because I instinctively defended him. I was wrong. I saw the broadcast. He admitted that he works with the Shabak. He admitted that he helps them. So he is a bad person. He's bad news. There is no excuse for that. There is no excuse for working with informers and with traitors. No excuse. And as much as I love his daughter, because she was married to the rabbi's son, because she was married to Binyamin, and as much as we mourn the loss of his daughter and we pray for her soul, he is betraying his daughter's memory. He is a piece of garbage. To help the Shabak, he's a piece of garbage. And so I just wanted to make that correction, Kahana Loyalist. Thank you for your questions, and I apologize for giving incorrect information on the program last week. And now we go on to the great Gimatria, who writes, and I quote, Chaim HaTzadik, your thoughts on Simcha Felder, unquote. Oh, Simcha Felder is a state senator from Brooklyn who supported Barack Hussein Obama in 2008, who supported and he's supposed to be an Orthodox Jew, this guy, supported the lesbian Christine Quinn for city council speaker. I mean, he's all over the map. He claims to be a big defender of Israel. He worked with Dov Hikind. You know, what can I say? He supported Obama? Then he said, but there are Republicans I support too, like Mike Bloomberg. Oh, wow. That's great. Mike Bloomberg isn't a Republican anymore. Never really was. But I mean, this is just, and he said, that's the only Republican. And then he said, it's the only Republican I ever supported or ever will support was Mike Bloomberg. I mean, he's so pathetic. He's so pathetic. It's just beyond words. That's what I think of him. Gimatria now writes, what about Gary Rosenblatt? Unquote. Gary Rosenblatt, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, is the the editor of Jewish Week, WEAK. Actually, your final question, let me, because I think it's relevant, you also write, which is worse, Jewish Week, WEAK, or the Jewish Depressed, unquote. Well, the Jewish Press, or the Jewish Depressed, as Yosef Ben Meir, Alav HaShalom, used to refer to it, has really become a big disappointment since Rabbi Kahana is no longer writing for them. I mean, it's a big disappointment. But you can't compare anything to the traitors of Jewish Week, W-E-A-K. By the way, Jewish Week, W-E-A-K, is the New York rag of the UJA Federation. The UJA Federation funds that rag. That rag would not exist. They would go out of business in 2 seconds without the UJA funding them. When you give to the UJA, God forbid, if you give to that evil organization, when you give to the United Jihad Appeal, you're helping Jewish Week, WEAK, because they subsidize that newspaper. That is the newspaper of the UJA Federation. That evil newspaper, I mean, on every front, they are the most evil beasts you can imagine. Obama supporting that, you know, that goes without saying. They love Obama. They love all the enemies of Israel. They kiss the behind of every anti-Semite in the world. They're the ultimate self-hating Jews. Gary Rosenblatt is the biggest coward and self-hating Jew that you could ever find. And they may be responsible for my being banned from Israel all these years. Because they originally were the ones who ran articles about me, accusing me of somehow trying to link me with the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, which was, a complete smear. I had nothing to do with the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. I was against Yitzhak Rabin. He was an evil person. Most Israeli Jews are against this evil bum, this drunk. But I was not involved with his assassination. If anything, the Shabak were the ones who were responsible for his assassination because they incited Yigal Amir to do it. Yigal Amir was a law-abiding Israeli patriot who was entrapped by the Shabak into doing it, which is why he should be freed, which is why he's not guilty. He should be freed. Because when you're entrapped by government agents, you're not guilty. But anyway, the UJA, this UJA rag, Jewish Week, WEAK, ran articles smearing me, and that was one of the things that led to my being banned from Israel. They were one of the people that, they played a big role in the Israeli government deciding to put me on the ban list. Anyway, thank you, Gimatria. I hope that clarifies all of that. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the great voice of reason, common sense, and logic. And in fact, before we get to your question, Dr. Dan, I just want to check something. Okay, I just wanted to see something. The great Dr. Dan writes, your thoughts on Frank Lautenberg. How involved was he in freeing Soviet Jewry? How did he feel about Rabbi Kahana and the JDL's efforts? Unquote. Well, I actually already discussed this issue, Dr. Dan, in an earlier question that I had I had an earlier question before, earlier in this video in this, I'm so used to doing videos, earlier in this program, in this broadcast. Let's see here. Where are we? Who asked me that earlier question? Obama's trash asked me an earlier question. So I actually answered the question about Frank Lautenberg, but let me deal with the specific issue that you refer to, because one of the lies in the media is that Frank Lautenberg played a role. He was a champion in the cause of Soviet Jewry. He was a champion. He did everything he could to sabotage our campaign in the Jewish Defense League to free Soviet Jews. Everything he could. When we were fighting to free Soviet Jews, he and the UJA Federation were condemning every single thing we did and running to the FBI and the police and telling them to arrest us. So he sabotaged the cause of Soviet Jewry. The news media lies about everything. You can't believe anything they say. Everything they say is a lie. Even Arut Sheva, gave a great write-up on how we're supposed to be mourning Frank Lautenberg. Yimach shmo v'zichro. Please. He was as vile an individual as you could possibly get. You know, Baruch Hashem that he's no longer with us. Anyway, thank you, Dr. Dan. And Dr. Dan being the voice of reason, common sense, and logic. And now we go to Trace. Trace, we haven't seen you for a while. Welcome back. Baruch Hashav, welcome back. Trace writes, and I quote, "Hi Chaim, what is your opinion of former California Congressman Bob Dornan? Have you ever met him? He seems like he'd be a JTF supporter," unquote. I like Bob Dornan. He has chutzpah. He's also about 80 years old now, I think. I think he's about 80 years old now. Like, because I was mentioning, I say also, Sheriff Joe Arpaio is 80 years old. Congressman Bob Dornan, former Congressman Bob Dornan is 80 years old. You have some good people there that are getting up in years. But I liked him. He really confronted a lot of evil people when he was in Congress. And they hated him for it. Thank you, Trace. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think the Islamists will start targeting Russia a lot more in response to Russia's support of Assad?" Unquote. I don't know. I think that the Muslims are concentrating more on the West and concentrating more on their hatred of the United States and Israel. Do they hate Russia as well? They hate any country that's not Muslim. They hate Russia as well, but they use Russia sometimes because Russia supports them, because Russia wants them to be strong enough to attack and cause as many problems as possible for the United States and for Israel. So many of them have an alliance with Russia. I don't agree with your use of the word Islamists. I know this is a word that's used by many people on our own forum and many people in general, you know, because people seeing this over and over again in the media become brainwashed. Islamists implies that there are Muslim extremists and there are also Muslims that are not Islamists. In other words, we have good Muslims too. We have the extremist Muslims and we have the moderate Muslims. You know, this is baloney. There are no Islamists. They're Muslims. Those are Muslims. What they're doing stands, that's what Islam is. They're Muslims. It's not some breakaway form of Islam that doesn't represent Islam. They are Islam. They are true Islam. The media uses the term Islamists to try to say, oh, they've hijacked the religion and it's not really what the Muslim religion says. If you read the Quran and read the Hadith, it's exactly what the Muslim religion says you should be doing. Osama bin Laden represents Islam. That is true Islam. Tag Mechir now writes, and I quote, "Opinion thoughts on Ajem Chowdhury," unquote. Well, Ajem Chowdhury is the British Muslim hate monger who was featured in one of the famous films that we did exposing Islam. We actually put him in one of those films. now he openly says that he's seeking to turn Britain into a Muslim country, and they're seeking world conquest. He doesn't deny it. He's a very evil person, but he doesn't deny what he stands for. Thank you, Tag Mechir, for the great questions. And now we go to Mohammed is Satan's favorite slut in hell, who writes, and I quote, "Should Anjem Chowdhury receive the death penalty or should he be tortured to death for his Muslim Nazism? Can you offer a prayer for his death?" Unquote. Well, I do believe he should be put on trial and executed. I think he should receive the death penalty. We're not allowed to call for the death of people legally. We're not allowed to say that we call for the death of somebody unless we say that they should be charged with a crime. And in his case, the crime is treason. Treason is a crime that I believe should carry the death penalty. I think that should be the death penalty for it. I think he should be put on trial, convicted of treason, and executed. Yes. Can I offer a prayer for his death? Well, I offer a prayer I'm going to offer a Jewish blessing for him, the traditional blessing we use for people like him. Yemach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav, which means may his name and memory be obliterated, and may the name of the wicked rot. That's the traditional Jewish blessing for scum like him. Thank you. Muhammad is Satan's favorite slut in hell. And now we go to the great Confederate Kahanis, who writes, and I quote, "Since your father was a teacher, do you know what kind of impact children of illegal immigrants have on our education system? Thanks and God bless," unquote. Illegal aliens have a completely negative impact on the education system. First of all, they're not well educated, they're not well disciplined, they come from poor homes and broken homes where education is frowned upon. Many of them do not speak English and have no desire to learn how to speak English. They have contempt for the United States, even though they snuck into the country illegally and are ripping the country off and get all of these free benefits, including a free education. The effects of illegal aliens in the education system are all negative effects, very negative. They're a huge expense, a huge headache. They bring down the standards of education. They start gangs and violent activities in schools in many cases. The effect is extremely negative. Thank you, Confederate Kahanist. And by the way, the Gang of Eight and the immigration, you know, the amnesty law that they want to pass. God help the United States if that is passed. That would be an absolute disaster for the United States if that law is passed. Let us hope and pray that the Republicans in the House do not go along with it, that there's pressure put on the Republicans in the House to stop it in the House. Because if that's passed, this country, I don't know. I just can't. I don't see the country having much of a future. Thank you, Confederate Kahanist. And now we go to our friend Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, do you believe that the U.S. will invade Syria and then fulfill biblical prophecy by trying to invade Israel from the north?" Unquote. I don't know if the United States will invade Syria. I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it. Will the United States eventually lead an international coalition against Israel? In other words, Gog and Magog and the whole story in the Bible of what eventually is going to happen. That is very possible. That's very possible. And we see you have a Muslim president, Barack Hussein Obama. So you see it all playing out in a way which could lead to that. Thank you, Maimonides. And I want to thank all of our great JTFers for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.